are listening to Wells Tech, episode 624, recorded for Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. Digital ministry in a COVID-19 world. Wells Tech is a podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today, Sally and I release a special edition of the Wells Tech podcast related to digital ministry in a world in which COVID-19 is making it more challenging to do face-to-face ministry, but opening opportunities for digital ministry and making connections online. So we're going to talk through a number of resources that we have for you and things that have been shared with us. And our prayer is that some of these resources can be used by you and your ministry teams to share that precious gospel in these very challenging times. Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is episode 624, specifically focused on COVID-19, and joining me to talk a little bit about some of the ministry opportunities around these interesting times is Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. It feels a little bit like old times. We aren't sitting across the desk from each other today. I'm in my home office.
Social distancing to the extreme, right?
Yeah, back to the old remote work, and it's not just me this time. I did it for 12 years kind of all by myself, but it seems like everybody's doing remote work today.
Yep. And speaking of remote work, I think one of the challenges that a lot of our churches and schools are facing is remote ministry, something that is unprecedented in the church and in our circles as well. So that's kind of the genesis behind this conversation. This is not a full regular episode of Wells Tech for those of you that are regular listeners, and we'll probably have some new listeners for this special edition as this is top of mind. And we recognize that there is a lot of information out there on the coronavirus and COVID-19 and how that affects churches and schools, but we thought we would just have a little bit of chat and share some of the resources that we've found useful and that we've even created that might be helpful in these times.
Seems like we've been kind of on fast forward mode for the last week or so as our brains just try to grasp all the changes in our world that are happening around us, and maybe trying to hold on and say, no, this can't be really happening. But it is, it seems. And so time to, you know, make use of the technology that God has gifted us with to continue to spread the good news, and the world's ready for that good news, it seems.
Right. Yeah, and that should be a reminder to every person who knows that God is bigger than anything that this world can throw at us here, that His providence and His protection is just the same as it was yesterday or a year ago or a day ago and will be tomorrow. So that's where we throw our confidence. But thankfully, He's given us some incredible tools at this day and age, and the timing of this is probably very good to begin to explore the use of these. Some of us maybe dragged kicking and screaming. Others are very well prepared to kind of take ministry into the digital world, and we're going to talk about some of those opportunities. Certainly, as we record this, at least in Wisconsin, but probably in many places, there is a limit of gatherings of 10 or more, so you're not supposed to do that, which pretty much precludes most kind of in-person or face-to-face worship activities. So we wanted to talk a little bit about that. Maybe at a very high level, Sally, the encouragement here would be to take advantage of the opportunities that we have, not just to use technology, but to be creative in our approaches to ministry, you know, regardless of the technology. I guess I see wonderful opportunities for communication, maybe more even frequent communications, whether it be one-to-one or in small groups, to provide services to people maybe who are feeling left out or isolated. So keeping those people top of mind and figuring out ways to connect with them, connecting with our members, with our prospects, with our students, with our parents, grandparents, and maybe in some cases reconnecting with people that maybe aren't totally top of mind or that we haven't seen for quite some time. Just a great opportunity to reach out to them and say, hey, how's it going? How can we help? Any needs that we can address? Here's that word of God that everybody so desperately needs today. So I think unprecedented opportunities for ministry right now.
Yeah, I can see a little bit of fear involved, especially as the things we're used to are shutting down. So not just, you know, physical things, but the fact that our time is so filled with going places and doing things that all of a sudden we have more time on our hands.
Right.
Even if I'm watching a movie at home, that means I'm not getting in my car and going there and shopping along the way and all those kind of things. There's just more time. And I love what you just said, Martin, that we can use that time and get creative. Mm-hmm. And maybe God's just giving us really an unprecedented opportunity to have this this gift of time to get more juices flowing around sharing the good news.
And I hope ministry teams do take advantage of this, and I'm sure they're all scrambling. You know, pastors are meeting together, teachers are meeting together. How do we get through this? But hopefully there'll be a time when once you get past the blocking and tackling of just kind of delivery and how to get the word out and communicating with members and parents and such, students, that you have an opportunity to think a little bit more deeply about these opportunities and maybe what happens after this. How do we keep this going? How do we take advantage of some of the connections that are being made? So hopefully there'll be a little bit of downtime for people to think a little bit more strategically, ministry teams especially, about how they can continue these ministries with their members. One thing, Sally, that I wanted to do, and I put this, pushed this out, I think it was yesterday, a lot of questions, of course, about, well, how do we do worship? We've heard about live web streaming of worship services. You know, what options do we have? Some congregations are already set up for this, but maybe it's a little bit different than they thought it might be, given that you can't just kind of record a regular worship service because you don't have your full complement of parishioners. Or what else does that look like? What are the technologies involved? How hard is it? What are the things to be thinking about? So I put a blog post out yesterday, or 2 days ago, I guess it was now, called Live Web Streaming Guidance for Churches. And we'll obviously put all these links in the show notes. Those of you that are maybe listening to us for the first time, we have a very complete show notes page, we call it, with every episode we've had. And we've had many episodes that are listed there, but the latest one is always at the top. And everything that we talk about, Sally diligently documents and puts links to, so you don't have to feverishly write any of these things down. So we'll have links to all this in the show notes. That's at wellstech.wells.net, WELSTECH.wells.net. But anyway, in the blog post, I go through a number of thoughts, and I just wanted to share a few of those on, you know, the podcast today. First of all, I reference a really excellent article I found by Phil Thompson. And Phil Thompson is, I don't know if he's a PhD, but he is definitely a pastor who deals with some of these technologies and put together just kind of a nice, and I didn't need to recreate the wheel because he's already got a great guide here on kind of an FAQ of web streaming services, or not just services, but, you know, different ways to get God's word into the hands of God's people or share God's word with God's people. And he starts out with a big question, well, what platform should we use? What technologies are out there to enable us to do this? And the two that kind of rise to the top, and I share this in my notes as well, is Facebook Live and YouTube. Those are probably the most mainstream and the ones that are known best by a majority of the people that you serve. And very easy to use. I'd say of the two, Facebook is a little bit easier than YouTube to get going. It's just really, you need the app and a tap of a button and a smartphone, although you can get more complicated than that and take your audience down into smaller groups, and can it be private, and it can be public, and it can be recorded, and all those things. But it's kind of, Facebook is very much set up for that interaction, that social interaction, which is an important component to consider. So as you're thinking through, how do we worship, quote, and I've got air quotes there, how do we worship online, there needs to be more, I believe there needs to be more than just watch a sermon. There needs to be some interactivity, something to engage the audience, the congregation, so to speak. And how do you do that? Well, social network is good at that. They give you feedback mechanisms and ways to like things and to give comments and to have a conversation around things. So that in and of itself is kind of a step up from a traditional sermon where it's very one way. Now you have an opportunity to use technology to make it multidimensional.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Facebook Live stuff happening already this past Sunday. So I know people are comfortable in that environment and are taking advantage of that. I guess one of the big questions around it is whether people that aren't on Facebook and choose right. not to be on Facebook and don't want to start a Facebook account now just to go to church, whether they can see it. And I did a little bit of research on that just this morning, and it depends on the settings on your page. But if your page is public, it is possible for people to see it. They will get nudged quite often to join Facebook as well. But there are some possibilities
ads,
around
right.
that.
Right.
Exactly. And so, you know, you could test that out a little bit, have someone watch in an incognito or not logged in window and see what kind of results you get. But I don't think that we can blanketly say, yeah, you can use Facebook and everybody can see it. It's going to depend on security settings, the way you have your things set up on your individual accounts. But
yep.
but you can always run tests. We do that a lot in technology where we just try things out in advance. So do some testing and see how it works for you.
Yeah, and I made that point. I'm glad you brought that up, Sally. In my blog post too, one of the items was practice. Don't just kind of dive in. And people will, there'll be a very high tolerance of, we're trying to figure this out and we can do that together. But you still want to provide a quality experience as much as you can right out of the gate. And, these technologies give you the ability to practice. So do that. Get comfortable with the tools. Don't fight with the technology while you're trying to share God's word. So take advantage of that. Another thing you brought up is, one of the questions of how do we reach as many people as possible? So even if you're doing one platform, that does not prohibit you from recording that and sharing it on other platforms, like posting it on YouTube or your webpage, so that as many people who have internet access as possible can view it. That may not be in a live setting, but it could be kind of in an on-demand later that day or the next day or the next week kind of experience. So you do have those options as well. So consider that as you're kind of figuring out what technologies to use, that you don't necessarily need to be limited to one. And then that begs the question, well, what do you do for those people who don't have the technology to even view stuff online? And there certainly are those people, and you need to keep them in mind as well. And maybe that means you need to record or burn a DVD and actually deliver that to somebody. Obviously, be careful with social interaction, as your public health department would warn you and suggest to you. But you do have options to hand deliver some of these things, your mail or whatever, to get these into the hands of different people. So you do have those options too.
Yep. I think one key point, Martin, and you made this in your blog post, is that you should really focus on your audio quality. Video is nice to be able to see people. And obviously, if we're stuck inside and not seeing a lot of people, it's really wonderful to see people on video. But if they can't hear you or understand you clearly, that's going to really kind of ruin the effort. So make sure that you're getting as good of audio quality as you can. obviously we're doing this kind of all on the fly, and you're going to do it with what you have available to you at this time. But Martin, you give some good suggestions for different hardware options and things that might improve audio quality.
Yeah, right. And that article that I reference in my blog post has some nice links for how-tos as well. So if you're not familiar with how to do Facebook Live or YouTube or whatever, great links in there that'll walk you step by step through some of those experiences. Another point that I try and bring out here is once you kind of get the hang of streaming or recording or whatever, think about other pieces of content, other opportunities to do the same thing with. So one obviously that springs to mind is Bible study. Because you have the interactivity that is now afforded to you over the internet, where we didn't really have that 10 years ago, you can have an interactive Bible study, whether it be by chat or video chat or audio chat, or even via kind of an asynchronous approach where it's not in real time, but discussion board or email thread or listserv or something like that. Just lots of different ways that you can kind of set this up and try and get people connected around God's word, which that should be our priority at this point, is to get that in front of God's people, because it's the only thing that can provide the peace that they need. Two other things in my blog post that I wanted to bring up before we talk about a couple other things, Sally. One is just be aware of any copyright issues. Sometimes in our haste to make things work and get things out there, we forget that some of the content that we may be delivering is copyrighted. And fortunately, there is a good news story around that, and that's the fact that our copyright podcasting license providers are making some specials available, at least in the short term, that allow you to stream copyrighted content.
Yeah, this is really exciting to see. And obviously, there's a lot of these kind of things where you can do things for a good price around this whole challenge that we're facing with COVID-19. But two that you mentioned specifically in your blog post, Martin, are the fact that Christian Copyright Solutions, which has kind of blanket copywriting, is offering a 10% discount. There's a special code to use, STREAM10, and you can get 10% off of a new license with Christian Copyright Solutions. One license is also offering a free add-on streaming podcasting license. So if you have the basic one license licensing, which many of our congregations do, you can actually add on the streaming and podcasting for free through April 15th. So check that out over at onelicense.net. I specifically spoke with Christine Laufer, who's at Northwestern Publishing House, and she told me about this one license thing and that they were actually contacted. One License reached out to many of their major contributors and ask for permission to offer this for free. And if you go to the page that has the details, Northwestern Publishing House is even listed there as one of the participating publishers that's part of that deal. So
right.
Really, very really good stuff.
One other point, and this should go without saying, but we want to say it, is that if you want help or guidance or suggestions or to just have a conversation about different options, that's why one of the reasons our office exists and why this podcast exists. So if you just email us, wellstech@wells.net, or go to our show notes page and make a comment on one of the show episodes, this one in particular, we'll definitely get back to you and provide resources as best we are able. And there's all kinds of ways to get in touch with us on social media, et cetera. One great resource I've got to believe is our Google group, which has a number of people probably on it that are going through this process and maybe have nailed this thing, so they can give you some of their experiences and technologies as well. And there's a link at the top of the page for that as well. So lots of different opportunities. Sally, one thing that maybe some people are interested in is to see what other churches are doing or to participate and enjoy the worship experiences that are being live streamed now. And fortunately, we do maintain a page. We can't say that it lists each and every church right now that is doing live streaming or even on demand offerings of their services, but we do our best, and we can only share what has been shared with us. But if you go to our Wells yearbook, our online yearbook at yearbook.wells.net/streaming, you're going to be able to get a list of all of our churches and links. Many, some of the links just go to their homepage, where you can usually find where their worship streaming page is. Others go right to the streaming page. They do it all in a little bit different way. But that's a great place to start.
One thing that comes to mind as you're describing that and talking about how we're willing to offer tech support is the whole concept of individuals and congregations and schools supporting their membership and offering tech help where needed, or just clearly communicating, being visible to them, making yourself available to them, telling them what you're going to be doing and what times you're going to be available and how you're going to work through this. And obviously, with full disclaimers, as everyone has to do at this point, that this is a moving target, that we're going to tell you if things change and things like that. But just really being on top of that communication and support of your membership is probably a real high priority.
Right. So, Sally, we probably have a little bit of time here to share some other resources and some other topics related to this whole concept of, well, what do we do when we can't gather together physically? One of the things that I thought about, and I don't really have an answer for, is, well, how do we deal with the means of grace, specifically Holy Communion, if you can't be in the same place at the same time? And I don't know what the answer to that is. If there are people who have thought about that and maybe have some ideas to share about how to deal with things like that, let us know. We'd love to pass those along and share those kinds of things.
It just makes you realize how important the means of grace are. And mm-hmm. I guess my brain has slowly caught on to what all this means. And the concept of missing communion is probably a very difficult thing for many people, and obviously an important thing in the Christian's life. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that we'll be hearing more and more about that as time progresses. Also, just hearing more and more about the need for continuing our offerings to our congregations.
Right.
And the fact that they have bills to pay just like always, and salaries to pay and things like that. And a great reference for that, Martin, we just interviewed Pastor Kurt Lunenberg and Adam Gady from the Ministry of Christian Giving Office back in December. And so I'm going to throw a link in the show notes to that interview. And they cover all kinds of great ideas around online giving options, from Vanco to Tithely, Rebel Give, PayPal, and more. And I think it's a really good one-stop place to get a good overview from the people who are experts in that area.
Yeah, this is a critical issue in my mind that maybe is certainly on the mind of many of our congregations, but maybe they're reticent to kind of reach out to their members about offerings. But offerings are what keeps the ministry going as well, whether people are showing up or not, especially, well, I shouldn't say even especially, but, you know, the staffs that work there are so important in sharing and putting the plans together for gospel ministry, that we need to clearly continue to support that. And we don't want them to be kind of caught in a bad place either, as we're all kind of going through this together. So keep that in mind and be vigilant in, you know, trying to figure out ways to, you know, make your members aware that, hey, this is an important ministry as well, through online giving or mailing in offerings or other different ways to do that. So I guess my encouragement would, don't overlook that, and don't shy away from, you know, making that ministry opportunity, that worship opportunity, available to your members in as many ways as you can.
Definitely. I wanted to throw out the idea as well of a different type of video. And I think you really touched on this, Martin, earlier, but a lot of our focus is delivering worship and then maybe Bible class, corporate type events where you would be more watching the video stream, not necessarily fully engaging. Just want to make mention that there are tools out there for interactive video chat. So everyone is part of the conversation. And maybe it's time, or as time progresses, you'll have time to consider small group interactions and things using tools like Zoom or Google Hangouts or Google Meet. I think it kind of has two names right now. David Schumann suggested using Jitsi. I think we've talked about Jitsi on the podcast in the past. But there are free tools out there, and this would give you two-way communication. So really shifting from the streaming, which goes one way, to being able to have multiple people in the conversation do two-way communication. And I think, you know, we're just kind of coming off a season of home group Bible studies in our church. We do that 3 times a year for a month at a time where we meet weekly. I think that interaction with other people, just supporting them with fellowship opportunities or check-ins or whatever, is a way that our Christian community can come together and support one another. And so maybe that becomes part of your more extended communication strategies.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially when a number of people, if not most people, are in almost total isolation. You know, the only time they talk to another person, a real person, would be maybe getting out to the grocery store or whatever. But other than that, they're spending their entire day at home. So this is a great opportunity to kind of extend those walls and see a face, a smiling face, you know, be able to share concerns, fears, joys, encouragement, those kinds of things in real time, which these tools make it pretty easy to do. I'm wondering, Sally, with everybody working from home, what the stress is on our infrastructure. I saw an article that the Pentagon, a lot of people working out of the Pentagon these days, they had to restrict YouTube streaming and Pandora and those kinds of things because everybody's remoting in, VPNing in, and just put a huge stress on their network. So just kind of keep that in mind, too, that you are, in many cases, sharing bandwidth and be kind to your community and your neighbors as well.
Certainly, audio calls are less bandwidth than everybody turning their camera on. So, you know, even if it comes down to that. But yeah, I saw one headline, I think it was Monday, and I'm sure it's been surpassed, but today was the largest video conferencing day in history or something to that effect.
Not a surprise.
You know? So I think we'll be breaking some barriers that it's uncharted territory, I guess. So we'll see how it develops.
Right. Any other resources that you care to share that have been shared with us, Sally, that might be helpful for people kind of working through this time?
Sure. Just a couple other things. I mentioned earlier that I spoke with Christine Laufer at Northwestern Publishing House. She's their copyrights person there. And she did make mention that schools have been reaching out to her, particularly about their day school Christian materials that they've purchased from NPH. And they've given permission for them to scan and share that material in electronic format, but only in private ways, like via email or via a Google Classroom that's privatized. No one should be posting that type of material on the public web because it still does fall under copyright permissions. But for the time period, and I want to say she gave me a specific time period, at least for the next, for the duration of online learning, I think that's how she phrased it, that would be acceptable for people to privately share digital copies of those resources that they have purchased from NPH.
So, that's great news.
Good to know. And Christine is available. We'll publish her contact information in the show notes, and she's very open to anyone reaching out if they have any questions at all.
One other note, I was on a conference call earlier, or maybe late last week, with a number of Area Lutheran high schools, and they were kind of figuring this thing out as well because they have got to deal with distance learning now where they, in many respects, hadn't done that in the past. And one of the things that I as you're talking about Christine and some of the reproduction rights that they're giving now, is to remember student privacy yet. Some of the tools that will be at your disposal may not necessarily be a good idea if they kind of infringe on student privacy laws. So you still have to be reticent of some of the tools that are out there may not be sensitive to that, or may be not for the age of student that you're teaching. So just keep that in mind in an online distance learning world, that you do still have student privacy rules and regs that you have to pay attention to. So you don't want to violate that.
Great point. I will point people to Wells Intersections. That's a Facebook group. Great. There's been lots of discussion there. Articles shared, videos shared, topics around embedding video in a MailChimp e-newsletter or MealTrain applications, where if you need to help some of the people in your congregation with meals and things. Just a wide variety of conversation around the whole COVID-19 topic, so a good place to ask questions and learn as well. And then one resource definitely wanted to share was from Christian Family Solutions. They have a Calm Amidst the Coronavirus Chaos blog post that gives it a little perspective, and it even encourages kind of turning off some of the the information overload that we're getting at this point, and being a little less in tune to every single development or whatever. Help our nerves a lot, I think.
Right. Yeah. Well, Sally, we're coming up on our 30-minute mark. We want to keep this under 30 minutes, and hopefully we've done that. But so we won't have the regular segments that we normally have in a Wells Tech podcast, but I think we had a great discussion. We do have a video that we'd like to share, though, right? You came up with something that you felt was worth passing along.
Right. This is a YouTube video put together by some Wells pastors and others. They're talking about how will church look during coronavirus and why. And interesting discussion includes Kent Reeder, Nathan Lairsch, and Luke Thompson from different Wells congregations from Canada and across our country as well. And I think maybe they have some international perspective in there as well. So check it out. And looks like an interesting video.
Awesome. I'm going to go there now as soon as we're done here. Sounds awesome. Thank you, Sally, for taking the time. And thanks to all of you for tuning in and taking a listen to this special edition of the Wells Tech Podcast on COVID-19. Blessings on everybody as you take all your concerns to the Lord. He is the one that provides the peace you need. Have a great day. Bye-bye.